question for you. How are you feeling about your mental stability? Because the Phoenix Suns are going to test it night in and night out. No matter what team is on the schedule, whatever you expect, expect the unexpected. The consistently inconsistent Phoenix Suns strike again tonight, going into New Orleans, a team that sits two games ahead of them in the standings, a team that they've played just once this season. And in that game, they defeated them in New Orleans, and Devin Booker scored 52 points. Don't know what to expect tonight. This is a team that's been playing well. They're holding on to the sixth seed in the Western Conference and actually tied with the Dallas Mavericks, who have the fifth seed in the Western Conference. So what do the schizophrenic Suns do? Well, they win 124 to 111. Devin Booker has 52 points again. You just don't know what to expect night after night. And I'll tell you what you might not expect. You might be expecting Matthew, but he's working late tonight. So I'm bringing in the Suns geek, unexpected cameo. What's up, Bryn? How we doing?
Doing really great, man. The Phoenix Suns get a much needed win. Thank God. Thank the NBA gods. We got the dub. Happy to be here, man. Thank you for inviting me. I love doing these, you know, post-game podcasts live on both channels, man. So thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure having you on. And yes, the Suns, as they've began this trek over the last 10 games of the season that we knew would be a monumental task to overcome. Through the first three games, they're 2-1. They've beat Denver. They've beat New Orleans. They lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So definitely a great start to the way that this 10-game span has begun. And a road trip that was five games long, you know, the Phoenix Suns walk away from feeling good about themselves. Potentially, we don't know what they feel because, again, they're all over the place. They might not feel anything. They probably don't feel anything, you know, but the road trip began in San Antonio with a win, then a loss, then a win in Denver, then a loss in Oklahoma City, and then a win tonight against New Orleans. So a 3-2 road trip, you got to walk away from that. And somehow, some way, despite where those wins came and how they came, you say this was a successful road trip, right?
Yeah, a little bit here and there.
I'm trying.
I was so disappointed with some of these losses, man. But I've already gone live and done videos about that. It traumatized me. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, well, we'll talk about some of that traumatization here on the Suns Jam Session podcast, which is being multicast into the multiverse, both here on the Suns Jam Session channel as well as Suns Geek channel. So tell everyone where they can consume your content if they're watching on our side. Let them know where you reside on a normal basis.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube is my number one platform. Just search Suns Geek on YouTube. You'll find me. I do as many live shows as I can, you know, constant videos, YouTube shorts. Just if it has to do with the Phoenix Suns, I'm going to make a video about it. I'm also on Twitter. No, I'm not going to call it X. I'm also on TikTok, Instagram. Just search Suns Geek and you'll find me. But YouTube is my main uploading platform.
There you go. So if you're new to the Suns fan base and you like to tune in at the back end of the season, like some people do, you know, perhaps you have not been here for the entire ride through 75 games with the Phoenix Suns and you don't know who Suns Geek is. Well, boom, there you go. And if you're on Suns Geek side and you don't know who I am, my name is John Voight. I'm managing editor of brightsideofthesun.com. My co-host Matthew Lissy isn't here at this point. He might pop in a little bit later, but make sure you follow him on Twitter at Matthew Lissy. You can follow our show at Suns Jam on all major social media platforms. And of course, you can follow me at Darth Voida. All right. You popping into anything tonight, Suns Geek? Do the Suns driving you to drinking tonight?
It's funny you say that. I was texting my friend about that. I was like, man, I've been really tempted to drink over this last week or so.
I wonder why.
But I'm honestly saving it for like the play-in tournament, kind of the end of the season. So unfortunately, I just got some water. But trust me, I've been very tempted to give in to temptation and drink alcohol.
What is it about me that whenever either you or Matthew are on the show, you guys just don't have a beer with me? So I'm having a delicious Four Peaks Wow Wheat.
Drink one for me, man. I need it right now. I need it.
Yeah, I'll drink one for Suns Nation here. So pop them if you got them, Suns fans.
All right, last time I drank was on St. Paddy's Day, and I'm like, I'm going to wait till the playoffs, you know.
All right, well, cheers. You enjoy that hydrating water there, bud. Let's talk Suns. Phoenix Suns pull off the victory tonight in New Orleans, which is it's a big victory for Phoenix because they play this team three times. This is a team that we are right around in the standings, and regardless of the result that will happen next Sunday when they play each other for a final time and the only time here in Phoenix this season, they will hold the tiebreaker, at least against this team. They don't hold it against Dallas. It's yet to be seen with Sacramento. We don't hold it against the Lakers. We do hold it against the Warriors, but hopefully we don't have to find ourselves in that predicament. But it brings me to my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
So, Suns Geek, I gotta ask. Taking a look at this team, they're now 44 and 31. They... A huge win. Absolutely huge win tonight against the Pelicans. Sounds like you're a little resident on this team because of the fact that they are win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. How are you just feeling overall about this team?
Oh, God. Okay. So,
get into it, man.
Whether you're a new subscriber or you're watching me for the first time, please, like, hear me out on this. And you know this, John. You know, I normally keep it super optimistic about the Phoenix Suns at all times. Or should I say at least most times? You know what I mean? You go back to the early days of my channel when we were winning like 18 games. I was still super optimistic that we were going to turn things around. I am always optimistic and positive about the Phoenix Suns. However, and I don't want to sound like a hypocrite or anything, but this season, man, especially the recent, you know, terrible losses like against the Spurs, for example. And, you know, this isn't Amari Stoudemire's fault, but on Amari Stoudemire's Ring of Honor night when we had that deflating loss against the Houston Rockets, literally kind of broke my soul. It kind of hurt my fandom. Like, I don't think I've ever witnessed a more disappointing, frustrating, stressful, whatever word you want to use to help you cope, insert that word with this Phoenix Suns season. I almost wore my Riddler hat tonight because I'm a big Batman fanboy, big Riddler fan. I almost wore this hat tonight because the Phoenix Suns are the most confusing team in basketball this season. And again, I'm sorry to bring the negativity win, but it has just been so stressful, so deflating. This team makes no sense.
It's not negative when it's reality. Preach. And you're simply reporting on what we've all been experienced this entire season. And we're all kind of at this point right now where even in a victory like tonight, that is paramount for this team moving forward. This is a team that is trying to avoid the play-in game, right? They're trying to just solidify a permanent spot in the postseason without having to either host a play-in game or, you know, if they lose two, they're out, or lose one, they're... I mean, there's a bunch of different scenarios when you're one of the four teams slotted 7 through 10 in the Western Conference that you just don't want to be a part of. When you add to the fact that this is a team that has Devin Booker, that has Bradley Beal, that has Kevin Durant, and to be in that situation, you not only find yourself frustrated and confused, but on a night like tonight with the win, you just don't know how to feel, because to when they play the Cavs on Wednesday at home, they get smacked right in the face. So you are tentative to have any excitement, and that's where I believe, you know, what you're expressing, Suns Geek, how I feel day to day. There's no identifiable trends with this team. There's nothing you can sit and go, okay, they need to work on this, because you've talked about it. They either work on it and they have a great game like they do tonight, and then the next game, it's like it just doesn't exist anymore. Yep. So the highs and the lows with this team mirror their net rating. And I'm pulling up a graph. If you're listening, I'll explain to you. But if you're watching, you'll see that I've pulled up the Phoenix Suns net rating by week this entire season. There's been 23 weeks this season. And this is a team that 2 weeks ago in week 22 had a plus 17.3 net rating, their best net rating of the season. Now, net rating is offensive rating minus defensive rating, and it lets you kind of know holistically as a team how well you're performing and how you're dominating your opponent. And it made sense. A couple weeks ago, they played against a undermanned Hawks team, an undermanned Philadelphia 76ers team, you know, so they did what they needed to do, and they did so in an impressive fashion. You add in there also that they played the Spurs as a part of that. And then last week they come out and they have a -7 net rating. So they went from +17.3 to -7. That is a 24.3 shift in net rating overall. And it's just unbelievable to see this team play in this manner. And if you're to take a look at this and you go, okay, well, how do other teams look? Well, let's just take Boston and Detroit. Boston, now granted, Boston's the best team in the league and Detroit is the worst team in the league. But you can see, like, with the baseline of zero, Boston is generally above the net rating line. Detroit is generally below the net rating line. In the middle, you see the Suns, like, they're low, they're high, they're low, they're high, they're low. And I bring all this up because, and we'll get into this game, but we'll talk about the great things that we witnessed tonight. And the performance by Devin Armani Booker, who had 52 points tonight, and the manner in which he did it, and what it means to him, and what it means to this franchise, and what it potentially could mean to his leadership. I don't know. But you don't know any trends to talk about and believe those trends, or you don't have anything goes, this was the turning point. Because as the graph shows, there's been like 7 turning points this season, and their response is to instantly turn back the other way.
I absolutely love how you broke that all down with the net rating and everything, and how you just said, like, there's no like turning point in the season. Like the other night, like, shameless plug here, but the other night when we lost to the OKC Thunder without SGA, by the way, yeah, I went like 10 minutes, maybe even 15 minutes without actually talking about the game. I was just like ranting and venting about the frustrations. And again, I'm so sorry, Suns fans, like, to be this negative, but it's so true. Like, there's no like how you kind of worded it. You can get like kind of excited after this kind of a win, but like, now it's all about the Phoenix Suns just following up at least the first half effort, because we were absolutely unstoppable and incredible in the first half. It's about just following it up. And then even after that Cavs game, we got to follow up that again. Like, we don't know what this team is going to be headed into the playoffs. Actually, we do know what they're going to be. They're going to be a major question mark headed into the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's why, again, there's a lot of things that I saw tonight that I enjoyed watching, but I just don't know if they're sustainable game after game, week over week. And none of it really matters until the postseason happens, because if it's not sustainable in that format against the best competition in the NBA, the season's over.
Preach.
And that's where you just kind of end up. So we'll talk about this game. Again, 124 to 111. The Phoenix Suns do a great job of exuding their dominance over the Pelicans, and they did it primarily in that first quarter. That's what really was their saving grace. 46 points they score in the first quarter. They shoot 16 of 24 from the field, which is 66.7%. They shoot 9 of 14 from beyond the arc, which is 64.3%. And Devin Armani Booker has 24 points and goes 5 of 7 from beyond the arc.
Big Dick Booker.
24 points is just how Booker opened the game. And I can tell everybody the why. Why did he have 5 three-pointers? Why did he have 24 points? It's real simple. I was at work today. I was talking with a buddy. And he goes, hey, there's this prop bet that FanDuel has right now. And it's, is CJ McCollum and Devin Booker both going to get 3 three-pointers each? And my response, it had nothing to do with CJ McCollum, who actually ended with only 2 three-pointers. But I go, there's no way Devin Booker's getting 3-pointers. He's gone like 18 of 56 in their last 10 games. There's no way that he's hitting 3 three-pointers. He won't even hit 2. And so he has 5 in the first quarter. So that's the why, everybody. Me and my betting.
Devin Booker.
But I didn't bet it, though.
He was a fly on your wall. He heard you talking trash. He heard all those bandwagon fans that were tweeting him asking Devin Booker to ask out of Phoenix. He said, all right, hold my beer. And he came out with 5 freaking 3-pointers in the first quarter. Absolutely insane performance, man. That first half was just absolutely spectacular. And, you know, I think I saw like a tweet or whatever, like he joined Wilt Chamberlain, like as I forgot what the – I'll have to pull it up.
But he joined Wilt Chamberlain as the only person to score 50 or more points against the same opponent in 3 consecutive games.
Yeah, like before I butchered that, what I was trying to say was just he was breaking records, setting records, finally got 7 threes, finished the game with 8, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Finally broke that little curse that he was on. And just the fact that he's had multiple games with 6 threes or more is just absolutely spectacular. 52 points for Devin Booker, man. And I know he was 8 for 16 from 3, but he was 19 for 28 from the field tonight, and he had 9 assists.
Yeah, and the 9 assists again. So, I mean, that's another at least 18 points that he contributed on. So yep. He's responsible for 70 of the 124 for the Suns. You know, but going on more of that record-breaking, you know, when you start to put up point totals like this, you're going to get some interesting stats that kind of come out of the woodwork. 24 points in the first quarter. That is the most 20-plus point quarters in the NBA since the start of the 2016-17 season, which is 8 seasons now. He's done it 27 times. It's 26 times in his career he had 6 three-pointers. Tonight, as you mentioned, is the night in which he broke on through to the other side and got to that elusive 7th three, and hell, he even added an 8th. I was really hoping that he would just continue to kind of jack some up and hit them and set the Suns' all-time record of most three-pointers in a game. 50-point games by a member of the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker now has 8. Every other player in Suns history combined is 6. So what I found impressive about this is, first and foremost, just the way that he operated, as we mentioned, in the first quarter, in the first half period, came out 14 of 18 in the first half. 14 of 18, 6 of 10 from beyond the arc. So his only 4 misses in the first half were all from beyond the arc. Had 37 points in the first half. Just absolutely unbelievable. Was getting to his spots. And it's something that we've seen before from Devin Booker when he plays in New Orleans. Not too far, about an hour and a half drive from Moss Point, Mississippi, which is where he went to high school. Always has a ton of family in attendance. And he's one of those people, it's like, I don't know what the Suns need to do, but fly his family to every fucking game so we can get these more of these performances from Devin Booker, because he just becomes locked in. And I talk a lot about his leadership or lack thereof, especially as of recently. You know, Devin Booker is a silent leader, and he does it with his play, not with his words. Tonight, he did it with his play again, especially in that first half. Locked in, getting to his spots, has no issue navigating the long arms and defense of the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, what did you think about the way that he was getting to where he needed to go and the difficulty of the shots that he was making?
Well, first off, and I don't know if you mentioned this, but they were talking about it on the broadcast. On January 19th, he had 25 points in the first quarter, and yep. He probably had a whole bunch of threes or whatever, but he was absolutely spectacular tonight, man. I don't know what the defensive scheme, if you even want to call it that, for former Phoenix Suns assistant coach Willie Green was tonight, but they were also talking about it on the broadcast. They kept going under on Devin Booker, and he was just like, all right, I'll just dribble and then shoot. And even when he was guarded, he would just kind of get that isolation. They wouldn't send any double teams, and he just took advantage of it, man. He was just absolutely spectacular. And even when they would like kind of close out on him, he would just drive to the rim and get whatever he wanted. And you knew it was a special night, man. Even before the first quarter ended, man, it was just one of those special nights where it just seemed everything was going for him again, especially in that first half. And it was more surprising when he would miss than when he would make it. You know what I mean? Like, he had that beautiful, like, he was sort of near the corner and he posted up a little bit. Then he did that little turnaround where he like bounced it once and faded back. Looked like Kobe a little bit right there. Just absolutely spectacular, man. Got whatever he wanted in that first half. And again, man, it's weird because the Pelicans, believe it or not, they actually have been playing better defense.
Oh yeah.
Late. And this just must have been one of those nights where up until I would say the second half anyways, their defense just wasn't all in, and Devin Booker took advantage of that. And I want to give a little bit of credit too, and we'll talk about him later, but I think Kevin Durant also helped get Booker's night going, because mm-hmm. It seemed like every time they would both touch the ball, it was going in, man. Like, they got the offense started, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, but maybe that does show a lot about Kevin Durant and Devin Booker's leadership.
It did. It definitely did in the first, first half, I would say. You know, Kevin Durant had a rough second half.
Half, he was pretty good, though.
He was. He definitely was. And he was, we'll talk about KD here in a second and his leadership. You know, to finish my thoughts on Booker, another thing that I saw that he did that I felt was in alignment with what could be seen as leadership, because leadership is such a blanket phrase. leaders occur in a bunch of different ways. And I personally here and on Bright Side of the Sun have been knocking Devin Booker for leadership because he's not a vocal leader in any capacity. He's not somebody who does so with his actions really that much. In my opinion, you know, I was really frustrated in the last game against the Oklahoma City Thunder where he just kind of threw a tantrum and just started fouling. You know, he's like, oh, Scott Foster, you're going to call this foul? Well, how about you call this foul? Instead of just, you know, like you can't do that. And you can't, that's not leadership. That's being a brat. And that's not what this team needed from him in that game where it was still within reach. And rather than trying to lock down and lead his team to victory and lead them back from a 10-point deficit, he went foul, foul, and he's out of the game for pretty much the remainder of the game. The lead balloons, and that's all she wrote. So I've had some challenges with him. But what I saw tonight, outside of the scoring, because the scoring was spectacular. Again, if you're just joining us, 52 points from Devin Booker tonight in a win. You love to see that. But it was his approach in the fourth quarter that really was something that I admired because he wasn't hunting shots. Mm-hmm. And it's something we've seen from Devin Booker in the past where he gets to that high point total. It's the Indiana game. Indiana, he had 62 points. And in that last quarter, he was hunting shots to try to get that total higher. And when he was hunting the shots and he wasn't making them, the Suns were doing a poor job of rebounding. Indiana was running right back, young, youthful, and scoring and depleting the deficit that they were facing and ultimately winning that game. So Booker had his 62, but the Suns walked away with a loss. In this game, Devin Booker in the fourth quarter comes back in with 8 minutes left, and he doesn't shoot for quite some time. He does shoot a three, misses, but he's passing the ball because he's recognizing what the defense is doing. Because as you mentioned, Suns Geek, at the front end of this game, they were going under on him every time, so he was taking advantage. Well, they were blitzing him with doubles in the fourth quarter. And rather than trying to force it, which we've seen him do before, try to split a double team and turn the ball over, he was passive. He got rid of the ball. And ultimately, it allowed his team to have an opportunity to be productive. Now, to their discredit, his teammates weren't productive in the fourth quarter. And the lead was constantly being whittled down. I mean, the Suns, gosh, what did it get down to? I feel like it was like 7 points.
It was a 7-point lead because I tweeted something out. The Phoenix Suns blow another big lead again, like classic Suns, you know what I mean? And they were up 27 or whatever. And it felt like it would be like a 10-point lead or a 15-point lead, and the Pelicans would cut back into that. And that's where I do want to give the Pelicans credit, that their defense was atrocious in the first half. But right when that second half started, they made the right adjustments and kind of just took the Suns out of their rhythm and their pace. Let's say Booker would have went off for like 62 or whatever. I still feel like the defense would have picked up by the Pelicans. It just seemed like they were shut out of their rhythm. They did a good job of sort of containing Booker and really just containing a lot of our guys out there. And they cut back into the lead. And that's basketball, man. And credit to the Pelicans for making those adjustments and making this a close game, man.
They did, but it was Devin Booker who at that point said, okay, I'm no longer going to be passive. And he went down and he got a couple shots to fall. And those were kind of the nails in the coffin because, you know, it was a 7-point game. And then all of a sudden, boom, we're up 9. And Zion's doing everything he can to try to get to the line and slow the game down. But at that time, because of the shots that were made by Devin Booker in the fourth quarter, the Suns pulled away enough to get that victory. So
if I remember, weren't they like drives to the rim? Like he just laid them both in. Yeah. I was like, that was kind of when I knew
it's when they didn't blitz him. He instantly said, hey, before you blitz me, I'm attacking.
Exactly.
You know, and whereas before before he was saying, hey, bring your blitz, bring your double. And I'm going to try to set up my teammates. Ultimately, as I mentioned, didn't work. He went in the fourth quarter alone. Devin Booker was 2 of 3 from the field. Outside of that, the rest of his team was 5 of 19.
And so, we were turning the ball over.
Oh yeah, they ended with they ended with one turnover in the fourth quarter, third they had 6.
Yep.
You know, in the third they allowed 10 points off of turnovers. Yep. In the third they allowed the Pelicans to score 36 points whereas they only scored 29. So that was kind of like the oh shit.
Exactly.
The oh shit quarter. The fourth quarter, they had 11 consecutive shots that didn't go in.
Yeah.
And, you know, thankfully, the Pelicans weren't making them pay for it as much as they potentially could have. So, you know, again, a solid win by the Phoenix Suns and solid fan base that's showing up here and supporting both the Suns GM session and Suns Geek channel. I want to get to some super chats real quick. So if you're watching along live on our YouTube feeds, thank you for doing so. Please hit a thumbs up while you're doing so. It's one of the best ways to support the podcast and the channel for Suns Geek. Classy Nasty, $1.99 in the super chat says, keep up the good work, Suns Geek.
Thank you.
Parker Hines, $9.99 in the super chat. The most perplexing Suns team I've ever seen, Parker says. Preach. One day they will play like they can give Denver or Boston a run for their money or lose three games to the Spurs. Make it make sense. For real. I can't make it make sense. Can you, Suns Geek?
Nope, not at all, man. So frustrating.
And then we have Harlem Vega, $5 in the super chat. He says, the Suns Geek and the Phoenix Suns go together like rum and Coke.
Now I really wish I was drinking tonight.
You know, if you're hanging out with me, you're going to want to have a beverage.
I know.
And then last but not least, Biscuits and the Bear always donates to the channel, whatever the final score deviation is. I don't know what the word is. Difference. There you go. $13 because the Suns won by $13. And Biscuits and the Bear says, what the fuck was that third quarter? Granted, it felt like the refs swallowed the whistle that second half. I really thought the Suns might lose. I really need to see four beautiful quarters against one of these games. I agree with the schedule that remains ahead of us. I think the one thing that will allow us both to be positive consistently in what we're witnessing is if we actually get just that complete game against a really good opponent. But we even know then it's like that'll happen. Then they'll come out, they'll lay an egg the next. So it's just get me to the playoffs, baby. Just get me to the playoffs.
Yeah. I feel like the only time we've really seen the Suns play for at least close to 40 minutes was when we blew out the Wizards. You know what I mean? And that feels like a lifetime ago. And that was against the Wizards. Who are in year one of a very long, deep rebuild.
Yes, new ownership and everything. You know, the dogs
are freaking out. I'm so sorry.
Well, the dogs aren't the fans of the Wizards. They're like, Jordan Poole, fuck that guy. So let's talk about Kevin Durant. We already talked about him a little bit. Let's talk about him.
Who the heck are you?
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. I know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
Kevin Durant in this game ends with 20 points on 7 of 19 shooting, so a 36.8% shooting night, not the most efficient from KD. That include 27.3% from beyond the arc as he shot 3 of 11. He did have 3 assists. He did have 7 total rebounds. Did have 3 turnovers, and it was the second half in which he really struggled, because that first half he was 6 of 10 from the field and 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. But the second half he shoots 1 of 9 from the field and 0 of 5 from beyond the arc, and a couple turnovers like KD kind of does that were kind of like, what the heck was that turnover? But as you mentioned earlier, the way that he kind of allowed Devin Booker to cook and absorb the gravity that was occurring, that's what allowed Booker to open up. I wish we would have seen a better performance from him in the second half, because you need some of that consistency, and his shot's just looking a little off, isn't it? Dog's name?
I'm so sorry about my dog. His name's Spunky.
Hey, great Spunky's dog. Being spunky, man. There's nothing wrong with that.
He's a golden retriever, and podcast listeners, any listeners, I do apologize for the barking.
I love golden retrievers.
If you're an OG Suns Geek viewer, you know that my dogs always make cameos in the videos, yes, especially during the live shows. But anyways, to try to answer your question, yeah, man, of all nights for KD to have like a really bad second half, it sucks that it had to, happen in this game, because this game probably would have been a legit blowout if KD has a better, second half and everything. But again, I do want to give him credit, man, because I really did feel like the way he contributed in the first half really helped Booker kind of get free, if you will. And he was doing all he could out there, but it's just one of those rough nights. There were times where there probably should have been a few foul calls his way. And yes, there was one that I took a lot of L's this year. I'm not afraid to admit that. But one L that I took, man, was Kevin Durant and his turnovers. And sometimes they're just the silliest, sloppiest turnovers. Sometimes he like tries to go in and draw a foul and he'll just lay there and not complain to the ref. I'm like, get back up, KD. Like, I understand you're Kevin Durant, but like, get up, man. Run back on defense and everything. Bradley Beal does that sometimes too. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't really know if this really answers your question, but just kind of a tough second half for Kevin Durant, but still finished with 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and he only had 3 turnovers and 2 steals. So for what it's worth.
Yeah. His shooting hasn't been as dialed in as it yeah. as it's
like efficient.
Yeah, like and yeah. like he has in the past, right? And it's funny because it's like it's rare when you get like when KD's struggling, Booker's efficient. When Booker's not efficient, KD's efficient. That's kind of the duality of the right. Suns at times. But at the same time, a solid game by him and the way that he was just navigating on defense. Like that's what I noticed yeah. from him in this game, because you have a team in New Orleans that has been feeling themselves a little bit recently. Like Herb Jones has been feeling good about himself.
Trey Murphy. He's yeah. been so damn good.
He's
dude.
Been smoking, man. He was 4 of 10 tonight from beyond the arc and 7 of 14 overall, had 21 points. But
don't let that fool you. He is so damn good.
He is. And that's still a good, you know, six rebounds, 4 assists. He's somebody who's definitely coming into his own. Yeah. And it was Kevin Durant who took down that defensive assignment. And a lot of times we'll sit here on the podcast, both Matthew and myself, and we'll really have a good conversation about the opportunities that lie ahead for Kevin Durant relative to his offense. And you saw a little bit in the fourth quarter again tonight, right? A lot of isolation ball. And when that isolation ball begins and the movement ends, not only does it not help the team, it also takes the team out of rhythm from a rebounding perspective, and it becomes one and done possessions. And that's not always great, but look what KD was doing on the defensive end and how he was providing help defense when Zion goes in there like a fucking dryer, just, you know, spinning and coming in hot and trying to, you know, create havoc in the paint because he can't shoot. So, you know, he has one move. KD is the help defender in those situations, but he still has the ability to recover. So we do talk about a lot of opportunities for Kevin Durant, but there, make no mistake about it, he is our best defender, and he has to spend a little bit of his energy doing so. So if his offensive numbers are down, we don't need to cry and piss and moan. We can appreciate the fact that, you know what, maybe he's saying, hey, I'm going to take care of some of this defensive stuff. I'm going to help out in that capacity, knowing that I've got Devin Booker and Bradley Beal playing the guards, so I don't need to go for 40 every night. I can go for 20 and 7 and have an off-shooting night because I know I have Devin Booker right next to me, and I can be the guy who can be that facilitator on the back end of the defense. And that's important for the Suns team because that's what allowed them in that first half to really get out and jump out to a lead, is because they were playing solid defense. It was great offense, but man, it was good defense by the Suns.
And that's what I was going to say, is like two things. Is one, especially in the first half, I thought the Suns just as a unit did a great job of containing Zion Williamson. Like I knew
yes.
he was out there, but he wasn't very effective. He wasn't able to do what Zion does. And he's been playing pretty well as of late, so we got to give credit to that. But also, too, you know, what you were saying about Kevin Durant, how he can sometimes take like a half off or a night off because we know he's contributing on the defensive end. It kind of reminds me sometimes of what Grayson Allen does. If Grayson Allen isn't lighting up the threes and everything, it's because he's probably chasing down their best offensive player and playing some good defense.
100%. Completely agree. Shout out to Seth in the super chat. $9.99. Appreciate you, Seth. Says, this show is consistently great. The dogs are consistently dogs. The Suns need to play like dogs consistently.
Preach.
I like your mode of thinking there, Seth. And I like the $9.99. I appreciate it in the super chat. So let's talk about Bradley Beal, because he got an interesting task to navigate this evening.
And she said, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley.
Bradley Beal tonight plays 39 minutes, is only 5 of 8 from the field, but 3 of 4 from beyond the arc for a total of 13 points. But he has 9 rebounds, he has 6 assists, does have the 3 turnovers, but also adds a couple steals in there and a block shot. Was really kind of playing the tertiary role that he enjoys, I think, playing here in Phoenix. And it's one of the challenges when we talk about the future of the Suns, which we will talk about here momentarily. It's going to be hard to get rid of Bradley Beal because he likes playing the tertiary guy. He does, you know, he only went for 13 tonight, but 13, 9, and 6, you know, from a guy who's going to make $50 million next year, like you would just put your hands over your face and look down and just almost want to sob. But it was productive tonight. What'd you see from Bradley Beal and the fact that he had to guard Zion Williamson?
Yeah, I feel like he sometimes does pretty well at that. He will take on those challenges of kind of guarding sort of the bigger body. By the way, sometimes Royce O'Neal does that, but I feel like Bradley Beal has been, you know, the one to do it more often and do it consistently well. And this kind of goes back to the thing I was saying about Grayson Allen and Kevin Durant, is sometimes they focus in on defense and that's their job for the night. And that's fine. Like, that goes to show how sometimes this Phoenix Suns team can really be a threat on defense, which that's crazy to say because our defense has been trashed this year. But I kind of feel like Bradley Beal had kind of a weird game. I don't know if it was just because he was focusing in on the defensive end. Maybe he was trying to be our point guard tonight. You know, he only had, six assists or whatever. But a couple kind of silly turnovers as well. Yeah. You know, like one in particular where I think he fell on the floor or whatever. But, like, some silly turnovers here and there. He did hit kind of the dagger, though, that dagger three, which was much needed. You know, I've heard the term, and I've even heard Bradley Beal say this as well out of his own mouth, saying that he was a little passive. And I've heard that talk, like, Bradley Beal's passive. Bradley Beal's, you know, I kind of felt that vibe tonight. But again, maybe that's because Booker was cooking in the first half. Maybe that's just because, again, he had a lot to do on the defensive end. And maybe that's, again, going back to the Pelicans' second half defense. I don't know. Kind of a weird game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 13-9-6, only missed three shots, you know. Not too bad, not great, but not terrible either. So, again, don't know if that answers your question, but a weird Bradley Beal game.
Agreed. It was very weird. And one thing that I noticed, and I wrote down in my notes, and there's something that we have to accept, is he's not a point guard.
Yeah.
Because of some of the turnovers. I mean, he just makes some dumb, like the pass to Bol Bol.
Yeah.
You remember that one? Bol Bol's like 80 feet tall, and he threw it over his head, like seven rows deep.
Does that to Kevin Durant a lot, too, by the way. Yeah.
So he's... That's not what he is. I do think that he needs to go up to Devin Booker, like, you know, after this game, you know, knowing that they're flying home to Phoenix, go up to Devin Booker and be like, hey, bro, can I ask you a question? Can I get a pair of Book Ones? Because Bradley Beal slips over the court so much, he needs a new pair of shoes. Maybe the Book Ones got a little better grip on him. I don't know. I do know I have a pair.
He also had that one turnover where he like drove into like five Pelicans players. And I even saw his like body language afterwards. He was just like kicking himself after that. That was a frustrating turnover.
So Aussie Suns fan says Beal is focusing on what everyone has been screaming for. He is focused on the facilitating piece of the game. He had three turnovers for the game. I think we are focusing on the wrong thing, but that's where my challenge is. Like if he's focusing on pure facilitation, he's not doing a good job of it.
Yeah, exactly.
In my opinion, because he gets himself kind of stuck, if you will, and he's better. The perfect version of Bradley Beal from a facilitation standpoint is when he penetrates and pops, not when he's trying to direct high screen and rolls and read defenses accordingly. No, he is an aggressor, and he is a fuck shit up guy if he gets to the paint. When Beal touches the paint, good things happen. But on the perimeter, he's not a great facilitator, and that's the challenge, and that's what we saw a lot tonight, was he wasn't penetrating. He was shooting, and he was staying on the outside. I don't know if it was the size on the interior that scared him with Big V and with Zion there, or if he was tired from being the guy who had to primarily guard Zion, because Zion plays point for the New Orleans Pelicans a lot, and so they put Bradley Beal out there on him to be a pest on him. And kudos to him in the first half. He did a good job. And when they kind of pulled him off and they started running switches, that's when Zion really got himself going. So, you know, Bradley Beal is a tertiary player. And it brings me to the question that I know that we're going to talk about all summer, Geek. You know it's coming, is what do we do this offseason with Bradley Beal? Because you're keeping Kevin Durant. You're keeping Devin Booker. Bradley Beal's got the no trade clause. Is there any way that they can get rid of him? Like, I know we've got seven games left, and here I am having this conversation, but I think about it a lot when I watch these games, and I start putting together situations in my head. I'm like, well, you know, if we could trade Bradley Beal here and sell him on it, we could potentially get back, you know, trade him to Oklahoma City and give us, Giddy, you know, Giddy can facilitate. He's a big guy, you know, and some pieces, right? They got a gazillion draft picks. Maybe they go, you know what would be great next to SGA? Well, they got Jalen Williams. Have him play this.
Give us all those draft picks.
Trade him to Cleveland and give us Donovan Mitchell. I don't know. Like, I start to think these things. Am I wrong for doing so?
Is it bad that we have seven games left and we're like talking about the offseason? And it's not just you, John. Like, I have been texting a good friend of mine, and we pretty much have already been talking about the offseason. Like, what do we do with Frank Vogel? You know, and is James Jones going to get fired and all that? It's bad. That's what I was talking about at the very beginning of the show. That's how bad, disappointing, perplexing, whatever word you want to use, this Sun season has been. is that we're already talking about the offseason. We have 7 games left, man. It has just been a disaster.
And Aussie Suns fans also says he shot 5 of 8 from the field. I'm confused by all this. That's my point, Gavin, is he only shot 8 times.
Yep, those need to go way up. I agree with you on that. They you need know, to go like, way up.
Like, this is a guy who's this guy is paid the most on your team right now. Right? The most. $47 million a year, Bradley Beal. Mm-hmm. And he takes 8 shots. He's 3-4 from beyond the arc. It's great. Why can't we, like, how can we?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Another thing, too, is I do have kind of a thought. I really don't think Bradley Beal is going anywhere, unfortunately.
I don't think he is.
And again, I think it's because, one, the trade clause, but two, I just don't think you make that kind of a trade just to trade him one season later. Now, again, if we fast forward to April 1st, 2025, and we're probably in the same spot we're in, then, yeah, maybe you think of trading him the next offseason, but not right now. It's just too early, man.
Aussies, but why are we talking about the offseason?
Exactly, I know, right? But hey, the Suns put themselves in that situation from I hate to say this because I love Matt Ishbia, from ownership to the front office all the way down to the ball boy. They put themselves in that situation.
And that's what Saul says. He says, no void. JJ built a bad team. It's a collection of players. Exactly. And I'm talking about a member of the team that, 100% there. But I'm talking about a member of that collection of players that doesn't, you know, one of these things is not like the other. It's like we have 2 point guards or 2 shooting guards. Like, let's change it up. Change it up. And again, Aussies, we are frustrated by Beal's performance when Book dominated the game. Sheesh. We're not frustrated. Like, you're the one getting overly emotional here.
I don't know if we're not
frustrated. We're just talking about different aspects of this game and what we witnessed tonight. Okay. So, Gav, when you go live after a game, I'll explain how a podcast goes. Okay. When you go live after a game, you start up with, you know, for the first 20 minutes was what we did about Booker. And now we're talking about the ancillary players and how they performed and the pros and cons of what occurred in this game. And one of the pros is Bradley Beal was efficient. One of the cons is, like, why is he not shooting more, right? Like, that's
– and again, like, go back. Like, Bradley Beal has even said the word passive. Bradley Beal has said that many times. It's like, I was too passive tonight. I'm sure Bradley Beal is saying the same things we are, but just in a different phrase. And I'm not trying to pick on Eddie here, but we did not win that game comfortably because they cut a 27-point lead down to 7 points. Mm-hmm. So go back and watch the game. No offense.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah, bling, 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 bling. Rolls, Royce, Rolls, Royce, Rolls, Royce. Yeah, nigga, Rolls, Royce.
Just want to know where Royce O'Neal's been. Has anyone seen him?
Did he even play tonight? Like, for real? Like, what happened?
He did. He did. He played 15 minutes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
2 points. He was 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Like, he came in like a fireball. He was impactful. And if we want to progress in the playoffs so our season doesn't end, so we have to start having conversations about Bradley Beal being traded, then we need Royce O'Neal to play better too, right? Yeah, we won the game. We won by 13, okay?
Yeah.
Could be better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, man, these players, and even though we've been – even though a lot of Suns fans want him fired, and he's probably going to get fired, Frank Vogel's even saying the same thing, man. It's like, this was a nice win, especially in that first half. We looked dominant and everything, but it was like, we need to play better, man. He can't blow a 27-point lead, especially with the way that we got into that lead and everything. But yeah, Royce O'Neal, man, I remember when we first traded for him, he was like 6-7 games in. I was like, man, this guy's like the plus-minus god. He's everywhere. He's got active hands. Like, I was watching him closely. He's a good defender. Like, I kind of gave him credit earlier. Like, sometimes he would take on those, like, matchups where he's pretty much the undersized one. I don't know, man. I don't know if this is just a bad slump. I don't know if it's just a shooting. I don't know if he's going through something, but it's like, I knew he was out there, but, like, I didn't see him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He just hasn't been productive. He hasn't been that plus-minus god, even though he was a +3 in the plus-minus tonight, but it really didn't seem like it. What happened? And you know what? We can talk about him later, but Eric Gordon, man. Like, what?
One of seven from the field.
Where's he been, bro?
Yeah, we need our bench to at least, you know, again, I have this conversation with Matthew. There's going to be games where you're going to be very top heavy because you're a top heavy team, and they're going to win. That's what happened tonight, right? Bradley Beal adds 13, Kevin Durant adds 20, and then Devin Booker goes for 52. You know, like, great game. But there's going to be some games where you're going to need the bench to step up. And members of the bench tonight were 3 of 13 in this game. You know, it's something that is of note. And again, like, if we're not doing fucking jumping jacks because the Suns beat the Pelicans and we should be, it's because I'm scarred, man. It's just been one of those fucking, seasons, man. I don't know who this team is, and I want to be happy. I want to be like, dude, we fucking beat the Pelicans, man. This is fucking fantastic. And then at the same time, it's like, yeah, not 25-9 is what we were outscored in bench points tonight.
It's like, I remember doing some live shows earlier this season where I'm like, oh man, like, we need a better bench next year. We need guys to at least get to like the 10-point. You know, range off the bench. And then there's some nights where I'm like, this team needs better defenders off the bench. I'm just like, it makes no sense, man. And I'm not trying to pick on Eric Gordon, because I really do. Like, remember when we did that live show about Eric Gordon and everything? Like, I was so excited for him, man. But 1-for-7, and like,
in New Orleans where he played.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, dude, he's so streaky, but like in a bad way. Like, we all know he can go off for 20, but it's like kind of rare when he goes off. I don't even remember the last time he had 20 points. You know what I mean?
I know that we won, because I think the Suns are like 5-0. Yeah. They're 5-0 or 6-0 when he scores at least 20.
Yeah, they have a great record when he does, man. And like, even with Royce O'Neal, I'm sure they got a great record when he goes off for a lot of points. But again, like Bol Bol, I didn't even really see him much out there. Drew Eubanks, ugh.
Yeah, well, let's end it with some positive.
Nerk.
Delicious definition, make them boys go crazy.
Oh.
19 and 19 from Big Nerk, and what made it great is he had 11 rebounds on the defensive end and 8 of the offensive variety. So second chance points is something that the Suns definitely need. They had 19 of those tonight against the Pelicans. The Pelicans had 16. So although the Suns only scored 42 of their points in the paint, Nurkalicious had a great game going up against a big body and Jonas Valanciunas. Valanciunas ended with 11 points and 7 rebounds. This one goes to Nurk Daddy.
Yeah, Nurk was awesome, man. And again, like, Jonas Valanciunas is a big guy, man. He was out there and it didn't seem like it mattered. Like, Nurk was, he had 10, I think, rebounds at like near the first quarter or something like that, if I remember that correctly. 19 rebounds, man. And look, I said earlier, I've been wrong about a lot of things this season. I've overlooked how bad of a finisher Nurkic is, and he really does need to clean that up. Like, he needs to finish those kind of give me shots and everything. But still, 5-for-11 tonight. You said it, 19 points, 9 rebounds, and then the 4 assists, also 2 blocks. And I remember there was one key possession where, like, Zion, I think he was kind of going for a mismatch. Nurk just kind of, like, stood his ground. It was just, like, a second defender. And I think Zion, like, either missed or he kicked it out. Like, it's just his intimidation as an enforcer out there was great. He does got to work on the free throws, got to work on the finishing, but I will not take any Nurk slander. I think he's been great lately. And a double-double machine. And again, the 4 assists is just a bonus, man.
Yeah, having that physicality on the interior, having somebody who can own the boards, it's such a great aspect of what this Suns team, when they are at their best, can be. And knowing that you can go up against a big body like Valanciunas, who in the past, when we had Ayton, Valanciunas had his way with Ayton, man. Like, that's one guy he had a hard time with. Ayton had a hard time with those big, bolsterous,
like Steven Adams when he was healthy and everything.
Jonas Valanciunas kind of looks like Travis Kelce with a big beard. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I agree with you.
I saw it. I'm just like, Travis Kelce's out there playing. Like, I knew that I thought he was on like a beach with Taylor
Long
Swift
lost
somewhere.
Twin or something like that.
I guess, man, like three times removed or something or other. I was in New Orleans tonight, the Big Easy, if you will. Didn't get any beads because I was running around as Batman. The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Riddler, you bastard. Riddle me this, asshole.
No, so not a lot of action about, and this is what was surprising, because for those of you who've been watching the Suns Jam Session podcast for quite some time, you might remember a couple of postseason series ago when we played the Pelicans. And I believe we were doing the subreddit back then. And, you know, obviously with the postseason, there's a lot of extra chatter. Tonight, there's a couple things that were at play. for the subreddit for the New Orleans Pelicans. One, they didn't talk a lot of shit about the Suns. It was mostly self-loathing issues that they're experiencing with their team that they were having discussions about. Zion shit in the bed in the first half and not having the ability to play perimeter defense. And this team allows opposing teams to get out quick, and then they're playing from behind a lot. So they were having a lot of those conversations. The other thing that you have to realize is tonight, Iowa, the women's Iowa basketball team, and Caitlin Clark played against the LSU Tigers in the Final Four. So they were talking about that game. Wasn't a very active site. So I walked in there. And I was looking around. And I was just like, where is she? And no one could answer me that. So these are the only comments that I have. We're going to stick strictly with an anti-Devin Booker subreddit. Because that, you guys, as we mentioned before, this is second time this season that Devin Booker scored 52 points against this team. He is averaging 52 points a game against the Pelicans this season. He has scored 50 or more points against the Pelicans over the last three games, tying Wilt Chamberlain for that mark to score 50 or more points against one opponent in three consecutive games. Okay. Suns Geek just left. I have no idea where he went, so I might have to end this thing up by myself. We shall see. And he's back. The Riddler. Holy my shit. Bad.
I meant to just, yeah, my bad.
it's okay. So
technical difficulties.
So here is what the New Orleans fan base had to say about Devin Armani Booker. Can we legally ban Booker's family from the arena? Just thinking about solutions. Every time Book shoots, I clench my cheeks. If Book played for us, he'd win MVP 5 years straight the way he shoots here. Fuck my life. I hate Devin Booker. I am going to hit Devin Booker with a hammer. Booker is fucking possessed right now.
And the last comment.
What voodoo man did Booker make a deal with to become Prime Jordan against us every time? And that's the subreddit stakeout.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Yeah, that's if you are a Pelicans fan and you go back to that postseason run where Booker was cooking him and then pulled his hamstring, you know, they do not. That's one team that he owns.
I feel like all those subreddit stakeout comments, especially this one in particular, are like that those two Mavericks fans when they called Kevin Durant a bitch, you know, and they're like, hey, what's up, KD? How you doing, man? We love you. Like it'd be like that situation. You know what I mean?
100%. They're like, oh no, we love you, Booker. Yeah, right.
Look at the podcast, man. You want to listen to my podcast? So good.
anything else that you had on this game?
You know what? I know he didn't have the greatest night tonight, but I thought Grayson Allen was okay. I mean, again, only 11 points, 2 for 5 from three, but he had 4 assists. And I want to give credit to our starting five for their assists. I mean, Devin Booker had 9. We talked about that. Grayson Allen 4, Bradley Beal 6, Nurkic 4, Kevin Durant 3. I mean, basketball really is a simple game sometimes. The Phoenix Suns don't make it simple. We had 29 assists tonight, and I know we had the 14 turnovers, but we protected that ball so damn well in the first half, and we were actually making our threes. Also, another thing, too, I know the percentage wasn't very good. We shot 38% from three tonight, but 47 attempts, and we made 18 of them. Frank Vogel's talked about it. I'm sure other players have talked about it. If we can get it to like 30, 35, we shot 47 of those things.
If we can get it to 40
of them. Yeah. Get it to 40, shoot 50. I don't even care. Get that three ball flying because we are so hard to beat, so hard to stop. Get 30 of them. Get 35. I don't even care. We need to do that the next 7 games, and I'm praying and hoping that we make the freaking playoffs. I hope we can do that in the playoffs and everything. Get those threes up, man.
I love that you say that, because it's funny, because I remember earlier this season you came on and it was you and me doing the post game podcast, and it was after a loss, and we said the same thing, right? Basketball can sometimes just be a simple game. And it was a game in which the Suns had turned the ball over a ton and allowed a ton of opposing points off turnover. And we're like, that's the game. That was it. Like, we'd love to sit here and give you expert analysis on what and the why. That's all it was. When you talk about the three-point shooting of the Suns, you take a look at this roster. You got Devin Booker. You got Kevin Durant. You got Bradley Beal. You got Grayson Allen shooting at the best clip of his career and one of the best clips in the history of the Phoenix Suns organization.
For real.
You know, I mean, it sounds somewhat ridiculous to say, but it's that simple. It can be that simple. Allow yourself the volume.
Yep.
Know that you have Nurkic down low to potentially help with rebounds. Crash rebounds or crash the boards gang as rebound. A team.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Gang rebound. You know, but this team entering this game, they shoot the fifth best percentage in the NBA. But they take the 26th most three-pointers. They shoot 32.2 a game. Like you said, they should shoot 40. They should shoot 45.
For real. They really should.
Because percentages are in their favor.
Yep.
And you go back and you take a look at their ultimate point differential throughout the season. You go, if every game they made two more threes, what would the final result be? I bet you that'd be an interesting, you know, that might be a good
piece. We'd probably have a better record and we'd be do it, man. And real quick, man, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how long you've been watching the Phoenix Suns. Gerald Bourget, our friend over at PHNX, he had a great tweet tonight. He said, the Suns follow up a lifeless, and I agree with him, lifeless 25-point loss to the SGA-less Spurs with a performance like this against the Pelicans in a crucial seeding game. Is objectively hilarious. Good luck figuring this team out. Hey. And the last part is really what I want to focus on. Good luck figuring this team out. I don't care if you're the biggest analytics guy. I don't care how much basketball you watch. Good luck figuring the Phoenix Suns out. And again, question mark.
there's like I pointed out to start the podcast, there's no trend with this team. You can't identify a trend. And the moment you think you do, they just flip it on its head. Yep. So the only trend that we can hope for as a fan base is this team plays well in the postseason. That's all we can hope for. PHNX, I stopped by their studios today because we have a little bit of a surprise that you and I are doing tomorrow night about 8 o'clock. We are going to do an unboxing, right? For those of you who follow the Suns Jam Session, I did this when I received my book one. So I opened them up right here on the show so we can look at them. We have exclusive Vogel ones. That's right. Frank Vogel ones. So tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Arizona time, we're going to be unboxing them right here on the Suns Jam Session and the Suns Geek YouTube channel. So you got to tune in for that. You got to see this new technology that they've got with these shoes. It's going to be really fun and exciting to see the Vogel ones and that just to smell them.
Right. Don't you
want to smell them, Suns Geek?
I'm so excited, man. I'm going to be like a little kid on Christmas tomorrow. It is going to be such a good show, man. We're going to get millions of subscribers. It's going to be amazing, man. Tomorrow our lives are going to change.
Tomorrow our lives change and you can be a part of it.
Yep.
So make sure you subscribe to our channels, put on those notifications, let you know when we go live so you can be here right when we open those pair of Vogel ones. It all changes tomorrow. So on that note, thank you everybody for hanging out with both Suns Geek and myself. Again, John Voight is my name. You can read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. You can follow me at Darth Voight on Twitter. You can follow our show at Suns Jam on all major social media platforms. Suns Geek, tell them where they can find you, my friend.
Search Suns Geek and you will find me consistently uploading on YouTube. We're on the road to 10,000 subscribers. It's crazy to even say that, man. And I know you guys are on the road as well. You guys are just always putting out great. I
think we're 3,500, something like that.
You guys are getting there, though. Your guys' consistency is insane, man. Love being part of the show. Love this little partnership we got. But yeah, just search Suns Geek and you'll find me, man.
There you go. Ladies and Jamsters, Geek Squad, thanks for showing up tonight. Suns win. We are happy, but we're confused. So go home and love your family. Oh, yeah. Devin Booker, jam star of the game.